First, when it comes to cancer screenings, most people would say, why not? But a growing group of doctors and medical experts caution that screenings can cause more harm than good in older patients. Liz Szabo is with us now. She reported on this so-called epidemic of screening as a senior correspondent at Kaiser Health News, where she focuses on acute care and end-of-life issues. Liz, thanks for joining us.
Great to be here.
Being overly cautious with your health and being on top of things for getting tests doesn't seem like it would be a bad idea, but when is getting screened a bad thing?
Well, I think that's a really good question. We've had a lot of talk in recent years about when to start getting screened, getting a mammogram at 40 or 50, but really very little discussion about screening at the end of life. It's a topic that makes us all a little squeamish. None of us like to think that we're going to die ever. But experts seem to agree that if someone's not going to be around in 10 years, there's really not much benefit. They're really not going to benefit from getting a cancer screening.
You write that some doctors describe this phenomenon as overdiagnosis. Is this a new phenomenon?
No, not really. People have been worried about overdiagnosis for a number of years. The best known example might be with prostate cancer and the PSA, the PSA blood test detects prostate cancer. But in older men especially, these cancers aren't the scary, fatal cancers that a lot of us think of. In many, many cases, in older men, like 70 and above, prostate cancers are really slow-growing. They're sort of sleepy. And in a lot of cases, people say men might be better off not treating them, not even knowing they're there, because they grow so slowly. I wouldn't want to call it a cyst, but you know, it's not necessarily the same kind of scary cancer that you might diagnose in someone who's only 40.
Well, and what I found interesting was they say overdiagnosis, and at first I thought, well, why isn't it called overtesting? But it's not the tests themselves necessarily, although sometimes there are cases where that can cause problems too, but it's what happens if there is a diagnosis, and here's this person who's maybe, as you said, like in the last maybe 5 or 10 years of their life, and they suddenly have this issue come up that leads to a whole different idea of what needs to be treated and when and how. So where is that line? How do we know for ourselves or for a loved one when testing should stop for different types of cancers or other conditions?
Yeah, well, a lot of doctors say that we should really look at what is the patient's individual life expectancy and not so much just on their age. A lot of older people do not appreciate being judged on their age. You might have one person who's 75 and incredibly sick and bedridden. You might have someone else who's 75 and climbing mountains. So what a lot of people recommend, the American Cancer Society, for example, recommends in many cases stopping screening when you think the person reasonably has, you know, no longer is likely to be here 10 years from now. And that's based on some pretty good science. If you look at mammograms, you had 1,000 women get a mammogram every year and get screened, you'd save about one life after 10 years. So you'd be screening these 1,000 women every year for a decade, and after a decade you have saved one life. So people say it tends to take about 10 years because most cancers grow kind of slowly before a test is going to benefit you, but it could harm you right away.
And how would it harm you?
Right. Well, a lot of people think, well, the PSA for men is a blood test. Big deal. I'm not afraid of a blood test. But, you know, if it comes back positive, they could end up having a biopsy, which is pretty painful. About 6% of men who get a prostate biopsy get an infection. And 1 or 2 out of 100 actually need to be hospitalized because that infection is so bad. With a mammogram, that's uncomfortable, but if it comes back positive, the woman may need a biopsy, which can be very painful and very stressful for someone who's older, especially if a woman has cognitive impairment, Alzheimer's. That can be very stressful and scary at that age.
We're talking with Liz Szabo. She is a senior correspondent at Kaiser Health News. And we've kind of danced around it a little bit, but there is this issue where if you tell an older person that testing them is not a good idea or isn't necessary at their age, there is that implication that it's because they're not going to be around that long. So how can a doctor or a family member broach this with an older person?
Yeah, I think it takes some diplomacy and finesse. Louise Walter at University of California, San Francisco, told me that if you just tell someone we're going to stop, that's sort of like taking something away from you, and it can be hard for someone to stop screening if they've been screening for 40 years. It's more successful if you substitute care. So if you tell them, look, you're not old enough to benefit. You're not going to live long enough to benefit from a mammogram. That doesn't go over really well. That's not going to go over well. But if you tell them, look, you know, you've got really bad heart failure right now, or look, you've got some lung issues, that's our priority. Let's prioritize what we can do to make you feel better right now, today, and not focus on something that may or may not help you in a decade. Other people have said, focus on common issues, again, where you can see an immediate benefit, preventing falls. Falls are a major threat to senior citizens. Depression and loneliness. A lot of seniors are isolated. Stress and a caregiver, if they have a caregiver who's really working hard. All those things can have an immediate benefit. And if you substitute one type of care for another, it's not seen as often as ageism or giving up on them.
So really prioritizing things that could actually have a very positive impact on their life and their lifespan more than these other tests.
Absolutely.
What kind of incentives are there that make doctors keep screening patients? Because you say there are some pretty strong ones.
Yeah, I mean, there's just sort of the momentum of you've been screening for years. It's easy to just check that box, and people tell me it's so much easier to order a test than to spend time talking to people about why you're not going to order that test. Mm-hmm. If a doctor has to see lots of patients in 1 hour, a lot of health systems actually grade doctors on what percentage of their female patients get mammograms, for example, or what percentage get colonoscopies. So a patient may not realize this, but their doctor could be sort of downgraded if they didn't recommend these services. So that can sometimes push doctors to recommend tests that may not really be the first priority for this person.
And Liz, as we wrap up, how big of an impact does this have on the healthcare system and the cost of healthcare in the United States?
Well, it's pretty huge. I mean, I was able to find some data just on prostate cancer screening in men over 75, because pretty much most people agree men over 75 shouldn't get a PSA. That costs Medicare $145 million a year. Mammograms for women over 75 are $410 million a year. And those are just two types of cancers. That doesn't even include other cancers. So this is really an expensive habit that some people say we need to break.
Well, Liz, thank you so much for spending time with us today.
Thanks for having me.
Liz Szabo is a senior correspondent at Kaiser Health News, where she focuses on acute care and end-of-life issues. She was with us to talk about the epidemic of overscreening in older patients.